Welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little Wet Ball is live.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, KJ and T-Bone. How's it going, fellas?
Good, good.
Doing solid. That first take, you were sounding a little down.
Yeah, it's been a long weekend. I'm still trying to recover from that. We're going to dive into it. KJ is going to have some words for me because I played in the Texas Mid-Am this weekend, and I did not play very well. We're just going to leave it at that for now. More to come on that later. T-Bone, once again, coming in hot off the tennis courts. Check the Instagram story. T-Bone, how'd you play in tennis this week at least?
I'm drenched. I got a hell of a workout, and I won. And I like tennis because I can win in it. Golf, I haven't been doing that lately. I'm sure you can relate.
Yes.
Sounds like you haven't been either.
Wow.
Sorry, got to get them out of the way. Might as well get them out of the way now.
Bring all the shots. Come on, bring them on.
At least you're not sitting crisscross applesauce like you're in pre-K the in the corner.
Yeah. Having some respect for the chair. The chair would be ruined
chair
if I sat in it.
Chair privileges revoked.
You know what? The facilities manager would appreciate that. So we're coming to you from the campus of the Cannon. New bar actually just opened outside, and we were out there having a couple cocktails. Out there, KJ, you doing all right?
It gets the KJ fist bump right there.
Come on.
I approve.
It's called the powder keg. Not bad, considering we're coming from the Cannon. Makes sense.
Yeah, which means shit's about to get real.
It's going to be fun. KJ, did you have a good weekend?
I did. I played probably more golf than I've ever played in my life.
A lot of golf, huh?
I played 45 just yesterday, which was...
That's absurd.
Yeah, I was at Hearthstone Country Club from 7 to 7.
That's crazy town.
Yeah, unfortunately, I kind of paced my liver for 18 like I normally do.
Yep.
And I think I Scotty teed it on the last 18, but we'll see.
Man, that's tough. That's tough.
I left with money in my pocket, so I couldn't have played that bad.
Well, that's good. I'm good for you. Good for you. It's the small victories that you got to take whenever you go in, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little golf, about my golf weekends. Joaquin even comes in with a win. 20 years old. It's a good time. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Check us out on social media at 3 Under Par Pod for stay up to date with us. Like tonight's out over at the powder keg, we're throwing some bags, cornhole. Just I posted that video of T-Bone on the ground. Throw him in the corner where he belongs. And
little sack is life.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And then subscribe, rate, and review. Give us a 5-star rating, preferably on Apple Podcasts. Write us a review there because we want to hear from you on how we're doing. And just write like a sentence or two. And then also tell a friend. Tell a friend about the podcast. You can do it. Okay. Do you want to start about my weekend? About the Texas Mid-Am?
Might as well get it over with.
Man, I've honestly been dreading this for the last...
That's how he felt during the tournament as well.
48 hours. Oh, my gosh.
Just a little precursor. I threw up an Instagram of Scott saying, if anyone saw it, he was looked like he had just gone through the...
Through battle.
And... I didn't see you after the round, but you did probably look similar to that.
Very much so. Very much so. Before I talk about the round, I want to give a shout-out to some friends of mine who came out there and watched. My friend G, Will, Hunt, and Redis all came out and watched me play, so I appreciate y'all coming out, and Linda as well. So it's a good time. Now, Dallas was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, the golf was not very fun. Okay, let's get it out of the way early on. I fired a solid 86-87. 86-87. Here's the thing. I cannot remember the last time I shot over 80, just in general. It was so bad out there that I texted KJ, and I expect you to fully yell at me. Or at least, what does the text message exchange say?
It was not good. And I'll tell you this right now. Scott is a guy that... is probably one of the most consistent guys. He's not one of those guys that go out and shoot 63 and then 85. No, he's going to bleed you out. Just
a lot of pars. A
lot of pars, back to back to back. It's usually the MO. But he calls me before his practice round. And if I could give you kind of an idea of what it sounded like he was saying, you ever have a trolling motor that's kind of like stuck with seaweed? And it's just going. I was like, what in the hell is going on in this guy's head?
I was like, freaking out.
I had no idea. I'd never seen you like that, except for your first date that one time. That was cool. But anyways, I'm going to somewhat modify the text exchange that we had.
That'd be great.
It started off with, you got a quick sec. I was like, yeah. So he called, and it was a nightmare. He was feeling kind of down, not confident, not knowing where the golf ball was going. And you know what? I'm just going to give it to the viewers live. This is going to happen. I said, you got to be confident, kid. Look at my swing. It looks like shit compared to yours, even though I whoop your ass.
Mm. Well, depends.
I can't even stand most times. I'm just such a cocky asshole. I'm confident. All caps do that shit. This is Scott. I'm freaking out. We'll just go with out. And I don't know why. Swing just doesn't feel right at the moment. I'll keep working on it. I said, I will fucking take off work, drive up there, and fucking fight you. Golf's hard enough without getting in your own way. The fuck out of your own head and go make fucking babies. I thought that was sound swing advice.
Yeah.
I was.
It was.
I mean,
it just was. It didn't work for me.
I don't know.
I would say the exact same thing now as what I said on that text message. This was Thursday morning before my practice round when I called you, and I'm like, I'm hitting balls on the range, and the swing just didn't feel right. I don't know. I think I was coming in at a bad angle at the ball, and my miss is generally a hook. Like, if I miss the ball, it's generally a massive hook.
Same.
And I can play a hook because I'm used to doing that. But for some reason, my miss was like a little flare out, right kind of baby pussy ass shot, and I just didn't know what to do with it. I wasn't getting that compression on the ball, and it showed, man. I played a little timid out there because I didn't know where the ball was going. And
did you have a two way miss?
No. Well, the hook came in a few times, Okay. But it was mostly a little flare out right because I was scared. I think of the hook that I was just hitting that little right shot all day for both days, and that course was probably the hardest course I've ever played in my life. And I'm not saying that because I played like dog shit and didn't score very well. That was by far, without a doubt, the hardest course I've ever played.
What was the name of the course again?
It's called Marido Country Club. It's Maridoe. And it's a course they built. It opened 2 years ago, and it was the old Honors Golf Club in Dallas, if you're familiar with that. New property came in, or new management came in, completely tore up the course, completely redid it. That course will host a U.S. Open sometime in the near future if the USGA ever decides to come back to Texas. It is, in my opinion, which I've never played these courses, but it is every bit as hard as Bethpage Black. It is every bit as hard as Oakmont. It is every bit as hard as Wingfoot. Think of any traditional U.S. Open golf course. That golf course, Marido Country Club, can stand with the best of them.
That's a bold statement.
For example, last year at the Texas Mid-Am, it was played down here in Houston at River Oaks Country Club.
Okay.
10 under 1. That's a pretty good round, especially for amateur golf. Mid-Am, it's not even the Texas Am, it's the Mid-Am. 10 under 1 and 2 under 1 this year. And you won by 5. There's only one guy under par for the entire tournament. The cut was 161. So if you shot 80, 81, you made the cut, which is crazy town. Like, usually cuts like that are 75, 76, somewhere around there. And
how does that feel you that 80, 81 made the cut? Like, that's, I don't care how hard a golf course is. If somebody says, hey, Scotty T can't go break 160, I'm going to be like, all right, how much are we betting?
It was bad. It was that. Yes, I played terrible, but that golf course was relentless. Like, what made it so hard is that every single shot, you have to be on your game. You have to be mentally prepared and ready for every single shot out there. There are zero easy holes out there. There's one hole that's like 330 yards, but even then, I made double on it on the second day.
Nice.
Like, well, so there's not many trees out there, and the wind wasn't even blowing. If the wind was howling, we played from probably about 7,200 yards. That course tips out to 7,800. There are rumors, not confirmed, but there are rumors out there that Jordan Spieth did not break 80, has not broken 80 out there.
Well, that makes sense. T-Bone already canceled his ass.
This is true.
We did.
And so if it tips out to 7,800, the course record from the tips to date is 75.
What?
Yes. There are multiple professionals that play and practice out there. As you mentioned, I texted my friend Jerry Ruiz, who has been on the podcast. He's a friend of the podcast. I said, what do I need to work on? He said, good luck. I texted Kramer Hickok, hey, man, what do I need to work on to get ready for the tournament? He said, good luck. Like, and these are two guys, and Kramer has his card right now. Jerry was on the Korn Ferry Tour not too long ago. Like, these guys are studs. And it's there's a lot of fescue out there. I can't tell you how many times I was in shit as tall as my waist searching for golf balls, and the greens were just crazy town. Like, it's, and they weren't even that fast. The greens were probably rolling like a 10 or 11. If they had the greens rolling like a 13, forget about it. Forget about it. They had the Trans Am mid out there. Cootie won. I forget, one of the Cootie twins over at Texas. Mm-hmm. He won. He fired 66 the first day, stellar round, and then didn't break par the rest of the tournament, but still ended up winning. Like, the course was incredible. It's 2 years old, and as I mentioned, if the USGA or the PGA of America decides to look at Texas for a championship, they need to pick that golf course.
Wow.
It's harder than TPC Sawgrass Stadium course. It's harder than Pebble Beach. It's harder than any other, it's harder than any course I've ever played.
Sounds like Merido made a deal with 300 Par Podcast without us knowing before he left.
Hey,
we won't talk about your shitty 86, 87 if you talk about how great our country club is.
Well, it didn't help, too. Like, on the last day, for example, I'm battling, kind of hanging around a little bit, make a couple bogeys. I go to number five, and because I started off on 10 on the second day, and it's a dogleg right, water everywhere. Tee up a three-wood, right in the water. It doesn't cross, so I have to re-tee, and I tee it up again, goes in the water. But thankfully, that one crossed, and I made triple, and then I made double after that, and then it's a par five, and then I just slice it off the face of the fucking planet. And they literally, like, we started looking for the ball, and like, because it was down the hill, you couldn't see. Like, I just told the guys in my group, I'm like, don't even worry about it, I'll play the provisional. Like, that thing's gone. It was incredible.
Recliner ride.
It was like, but it was so much fun playing that tournament. I want to give a big credit to the Texas Golf Association. They really hosted a really great tournament, and considering how hard that golf course is, the setup was pretty fair. And I think they knew that. That's why they didn't necessarily tuck that many pins. There was, of course, a few.
You don't, not to keep shitting on you, but you don't hear too often, the course was set up pretty fair from a guy who shot 86, 87.
That's so true.
Damn it, T-Bone.
Hey, this is true. He beat you this weekend. He beat you.
Wildcat.
Shot 85 this weekend.
I did not. 86, 80 freaking 7. Oh, man. That's,
I couldn't
a lot,
believe it.
That's a lot to take in.
When you, like, told, I don't know what was more surprising, the first day score or the second day?
I think the second day score, because I fired a solid 46 on the back nine to shoot 87.
I thought I gave him some sound advice after the first round. The second round, he called me afterwards, and I just immediately hung up.
Yeah.
Because what I was going to say, and you're welcome. You actually, as I called him back, the first thing he said was thank you.
Yes.
Because it was going to get very, very loud as soon as he told me he shot 87 the second day. I told him, I was like, you shot 86. The next day, you go out there, and you take every risk possible.
I did.
And you fire at everything.
I did.
But you told me it wasn't because you didn't shoot 87 because you missed your risky shots. You just weren't hitting it.
Look, I'm trying to aim for the pin, and if I slice the iron, I can't tell you how many times I missed the green with a wedge in my hand. I can't tell you how many times I missed the, like, I didn't hit a single fairway.
That
I felt
is all
like
mental. It was all mental.
Yes, it really was. And here's the thing. I know that when I go to Golf Smart, it's probably a little fix. Like, it's nothing, I don't think, too serious, but it was just, it was enough to where I felt helpless out there. Felt helpless. I had no idea where the golf ball was going
to
go.
On behalf of all of our viewers, I think they'll thank me for this. Come in this week, we'll fix it so we don't have to hear about your bitching and moaning about 86, 87.
Yeah.
Ever again,
I think this is the longest we've talked about, like, a round of golf amongst us that we've done so far. I'll put a time cue on where the actual golf talk starts, but
when are you continuing your amateur career again?
I don't know. Okay, this is okay, here's the deal. And this is going to sound very strange, but this is my only, like, encouragement or takeaway, I think, from the weekend. I think I can really compete in these types of tournaments moving forward. Just seeing the types of players that are stuff out there, knowing the type of player that I generally am. I just played like complete dog shit this weekend. It happens. That's golf. This is why we love the game almost. It's so that during those bad times, we fix it and we can go out there and do better. And I feel like if I go out and play in some, I can't qualify for the Houston Am. The qualifier is already done. But I can, if I get out there and play the way that I know I'm capable of playing, I can compete in tournaments like that. I know that sounds weird to say, but that's just how I felt. Like, I feel like I can go out there and play with these guys.
You nailed it on the head. It's golf. That shit happens.
Don't play Merido again. Is your first Is your first mid-am tournament, Texas mid-am?
Yes.
So you got that one out of the way.
It was a crash and burn.
It's done.
Golly. And even in the practice round, a few guys I played with in the tournament, like all great guys, a few of them played in like the U.S. mid-am around the country. Like they had played in multiple U.S. mid-ams, multiple Texas AMs, mid-ams. They said that that was by far the hardest course that they had played too. So the course had something to do with it just because your misses were fucked. Like there's no other way to put it. Like there was zero place to miss it. And that is a golf course where you cannot be battling your swing. And I was battling my swing the entire time. And I felt like I putted pretty good. I didn't add the numbers, but it was probably like 34 putts. And that, I mean, compared to my long game, that felt like I was on fire on the greens. It was, I don't know. Overall, though, like great time, great tournament. It was a very well-run tournament. And big shouts to the Texas Golf Association. I'm motivated to play some more amateur golf. You know, time permitting that I can get off work, of course. But
well, yeah, most
it's
people,
a lot of fun.
Most people leave when they're ahead. So you can't fucking leave. Exactly. I mean, you got
to
do it again.
I have nothing to lose.
You can go play. I guarantee you, 12 months from now, if you pick up a left-handed club right now, next year you can shoot better than 86, 87.
Yeah, probably.
I'm serious. I've seen it.
This is rock bottom for me, at least in my amateur golf career, and is literally the very first amateur tournament I've ever played in.
Start
and it can
off hot.
Only go up. Man, like I said, I'm encouraged at least a little bit, but I was very mentally exhausted because that was a lot. That's a lot of shots just in general.
Yeah, those people that came out to actually watch you, I don't know what they charged, but they sure got their fucking money's worth, didn't they?
Yeah.
They got to see you hit a lot of shots.
It was kind of funny. Towards the end, on the second day, when I'm firing that 46, Will looks at me and goes, "Hey, any birdie you make coming in is drinks on me tonight." And then that's when I proceeded to go triple, double, double.
Yeah, I was about to say, my card would be like birdie 8, yeah. Birdie 9, birdie 9. Hey, drinks, baby.
Yeah, man. It was a lot of fun, though. Good time. It's always nice going up to Dallas, seeing some friends and whatnot. So we're going to move on, though. Some other things that are going on in the golf world that was outside of amateur golf in the state of Texas. I really wanted to start off this episode, though, with some lady golf. The Solheim Cup. Did y'all have a chance to watch any of the Solheim Cup this week?
I did. I got to watch rerun. I think we kind of spit the bit there at the end.
Yeah, that was kind of tough. Those who aren't familiar, GB and I comes out with a victory. Apparently it was electric, though. I didn't really get a chance to watch it. I was busy tearing up a golf course in a bad way. But Susan Peterson comes in winning the match on the last hole, sinking an 8-foot birdie putt on Sunday. Man, that's good for her. It sucks that the Americans didn't win, though. Let's be real. I mean, we're Americans here, come to you from Houston. We're a little biased, but
yeah.
What else you think, AJ?
Well, I thought, first off, just to kind of compare it to something else, remember how shitty the match was compared to how much hype there was?
Yes.
I feel like there wasn't a whole bunch of hype into this one, and it definitely over-delivered. Like, it was close all the way down. Americans thought we had it. We were doing great. We needed, like, I think we needed a point out of the last three, and we were up in either one or two, mm-hmm. and we ended up straight up losing, just losing our asses off.
Right.
And it was,
was it 14 and a half to 13 and a half?
We needed 14 to win, just to retain it.
Correct.
And we ended up, you know, coming up a little bit short. But all we needed one of those that we were up in just to tie, just to not totally shit the bed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it wasn't like we were making doubles and everything. You know, they played good golf, so credit to them. But it was nice to see someone like Suzanne Pedersen, and as big as she is in the female golf world, make that putt for the team.
Agreed.
You know, she's almost like, I mean, she's not as old as Kari Webb or somebody like that.
Or like Julie Inkster, who captained the American
team.
Exactly.
But she's kind of that in a younger sense to the European team.
You think she's kind of like a Annika Sorenstam a little bit?
I think Annika is like the Tiger of female golf.
Okay.
So I don't think anybody's going to be like that. But, you know, she made that putt and then announced after that she retired.
The walk-off. How cool is that?
Like, I'm not going to lie. Exact opposite of what you did at the Texas Mid-Am.
Yeah, that is it. Oh, my gosh.
Like the exact opposite.
Woo, I got nothing. I shot 86, 87. I can't say anything. But, yes, you're right. Dude, walking off, winning the cup. I mean, that's the Ryder Cup version for the ladies. Like, that is as big as it gets in female golf. As much as we love the Ryder Cup because of the passion and everything, I totally agree with you, though, KJ, that there wasn't that much hype going into the tournament, at least not that I had seen and whatnot. And then once, you know, competition started going a little bit and, you know, it was tied going into the last day, it came down to the last match on Sunday. Team golf is so much fun just in general. And I wish I had watched a little bit of it, but I know golf Twitter was having a field day with it. So many tweets that I saw were just like, team golf over everything. You know, credit to Suzanne Peterson for ending her career like that. I had seen that she only had 3 starts in between Solheim Cups. That's played every 2 years, correct?
Correct.
So you're telling me that she had only played 3 times in competitive golf in a 2-year span and won the damn thing for them?
And still made it.
Yeah.
Like, think about playing 3 tournaments. 100% got to be a captain's pick, right? Yes. You don't have any status or any points, anything like that.
Yep.
So that tells you how good and how big of a name she is and what she means. Just, I mean, as far as morale on the team. You know, almost like a Phil type guy.
Imagine like if Phil had done well in the Ryder Cup last year. Like, that would have been the equivalent.
Correct, correct. You nailed that one on the head. But, yeah, I mean, it was tough to see us not come away with a win. But I will say it was great for the game seeing that. A lot of people were viewing on Sunday. Mm-hmm. A lot more than last year, which was surprising. Or 2 years ago. But it was just good to see good golf all the way around.
Yep.
Nobody, when I say spit the bit, they didn't lose it, you know. They didn't lose it because they played like shit.
I did see a few articles, though, that were not necessarily ripping Lexi Thompson, but saying that Lexi Thompson did not play, considering she's, what, the highest-ranked American on the team. I think that she just didn't perform the way she does. Similarly, I mean, we said that Annika is the Tiger Woods of Lady Golf, but Tiger hasn't really done anything in the Ryder Cup. That was kind of Lexi Thompson's performance this week. I think she went 0-2-2, so at least she got a couple half points for the Americans, but I mean, when it's that close, you got to go out and get that full point on Sunday.
I think she's facing some kind of back injury.
Oh, she did tweak her back. Yeah.
The only thing I saw from it was she blocked a shot kind of right. And this Irish, just loud Irishman standard bearer, or whatever you want to call him, screamed 4 on her behalf. Loud as hell. She just looked at the dude and she goes, she's like, shit, I wasn't that bad. But
that was a pretty funny video.
Yeah, but that was about all I had from the Solheim Cup. But yeah, I know she didn't play well.
I'm surprised you didn't watch it more, especially considering you're our fashion guy and it's, you know, ladies golf. There's a
in
lot
Europe.
More fashion. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
True. Fun fact, me and Scott went to Topgolf in Dallas with Lexi Thompson.
We did. Nice.
Major throwback.
I forgot about that. We'll have to throw that up on the Insta here pretty soon.
Yeah, she was my Facebook profile picture for a few years. What could have been? What could have been?
That adds up. What could have been?
The one that got away? Is she the one that got away for the T-bone?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, she was really cool. Yeah, very, very down to earth. Considering what? She's still 24?
She's younger than T-bone. T-bone's young as shit.
Yeah. She's great. She's great. And, you know, it's just big credit to the European team. They went out and won. Americans, unfortunately, just couldn't get it done. Danielle Kang also lost her singles match. Were there, like, some sisters or, like, twins that were on the American team?
Nelly and Jessica, baby.
Yeah, they did pretty well.
Yeah, I love them both.
Good showing. So I don't know what the future holds in terms of Lady Golf, what that's going to look like. But I don't think so there's not, like, a President's Cup version for women's golf. I don't think. I think they just have the Solheim Cup. Considering, though, like, how good the Koreans and Japanese are at golf, I don't know if the Americans would want to do, like, a President's Cup version of that.
I don't think that would be a good idea.
I think they would. That would not be very pretty.
I don't want to travel down this road
that
too
might look
far,
worse,
though, because I don't want to Hank Haney our asses.
That might look worse than my 86-87. All right, moving on to the Greenbrier. KJ, I know you've been looking forward to this. Joachim Niemann.
Time coming.
So let's preface this. First off, Joachim Niemann won the Greenbrier. He won by a few shots.
Try six.
He won by six?
Yes, sir.
I didn't realize that. Whoa. That's a beat down.
Yeah. He's got it all. I've told you this before.
So
you guys didn't believe me.
Let's give a little backstory, though, for our new listeners. KJ, how did this come up with Joachim Niemann?
So coming into the Open, we had to pick, like, in one of my leagues, I have to pick somebody who is basically worth less money as far as the points, all that kind of stuff. You only have a certain amount you can spend on players. So if you can't pick Tiger, Rory, Brooks Koepka, and I was like, wow, Joachim Niemann, I looked at his last five tournaments. Not one of them has he finished less than 10 under par. He had, like...
And this is going into the British Open.
Correct. This is going into the Open. And I think, like, 18 of those rounds were in the 60s. So only, like, two rounds, maybe 17 or something, were above 60, above the 60s. This kid is young. He's got everything you want. He's got the length. He's not kept good long. He's accurate. Short game is phenomenal. And his putting, I'm not going to say it's streaky, but when he's on, he's on.
That's kind of like most pro golfers, like, though, I feel like.
Like.
When you get the putter hot, then it's your week.
Jordan Spieth, 15, that's him when he's on.
Ooh.
I'm telling you, it's weird.
Okay.
I mean, his last hole of the championship, he dropped like a 25-footer or something like that. And he had a five-stroke lead.
Yeah.
Why?
I did see he made some crazy, like, six-foot putt, but he had to play about 6 feet of break to go along with that and just dropped right in the side of the cup. That was pretty cool to see. But, dude, the kid's only 20 years old.
Yeah.
He's 20.
Youngest to ever win the Greenbrier.
Yes.
Only winner on the PGA Tour ever from Chilean descent.
Yes.
He's from Chile. And I really think he's going to be one of those guys that is going to be the real deal. Like, we look at Victor Hovland. He came up through the amateur ranks, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Joachim Niemann didn't really do that. He won everything imaginable in South America, Latin America tour, and then he's on the PGA Tour. He's that good. I'm surprised we haven't seen his name in bigger things.
Right.
He also has his six-pack showing through his golf shirt a lot.
He's 6 foot tall.
That's pretty cool.
152 pounds.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez. And he hits the ball that far.
John Daly smokes, like, weight-wise, more cigarettes than how much he weighs in a day.
You're probably not, wrong.
No, actually. That adds up. Yeah.
So, yeah, you won by six, 21 under. Man, I guess speaking of Victor Hovland, he finished top 10.
Yes, he did. Scotty Scheffler finished top 10.
Dude, I told you, keep an eye on him. He was leading after day two of this week. Dude, he's a stud. He's really
up. Did you see a shot? It might have been 18. It's par three, and he hits a shot, and he goes, I shanked it, and it rolls up to like 10 feet.
Golly.
I was watching that video. I go, no. That is not a shank.
Unless you hit somebody. Unless you hit somebody gallery's forehead.
That is not a shank. That is not a shank.
Yeah.
That was kind of bullshit, but good for him.
I kind of hit a few shanks this weekend.
You hit any full on full?
We're not talking back shanks? To me after here. So, yeah, don't want to take anything from Joachim Niemann, but, I mean, those are the guys that we talk about a lot, and to see them already paying off, that's a pretty cool thing. But, dude, I think you might be right, KJ, on this kid, though. I don't want to give you too much credit, but you picked it. You didn't pick this week, obviously, but, I mean, you picked him. He made noise at the Memorial not too long ago, a couple years ago. Here's the thing. He was winning AJGA events 3 years ago. In 2016, he was competing at the junior level. He was 17 years old, and now he's a winner on the PGA Tour.
He was also winning them 6 or 7 years ago, too.
Yeah.
He had his first win in a tournament when he was 6 years old, I think I read.
Really?
And he was playing in a up to 10 league.
Wow. That's crazy. And, you know, we mentioned last week that the fall schedule, this is the time for guys like him to shoot up the world rankings, to go in and make a move, use that really as a springboard to, like, he's only 20 years old, to launch him into his career. He's now number 50 in the world golf rankings. So now he gets into the HBC in China, the WGCs. He won $1.3 million this week alone, which that was about all of his winnings last year. He won in 1 week. This, like, winning on the PGA Tour, we say it all the time, opens so many doors in your career that it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see, especially 20 years old. He's not even 21 yet, so he can't legally drink in the States. I would say, let's go.
How is he going to celebrate? He said I was going to go celebrate after the round. Like, what are you going to do?
With some water?
Oh, let's go get some grape, cherry. What is that stuff you drink at New Year's Eve when you were a kid?
Grape soda?
They come in wine bottles. Everybody thinks, oh, Welch's. What?
Welch's sparkling cider.
Yeah, there you go. Well, oh, he knows well. He knows. He's like, yeah, it. I used to pour that shit out in the drain and fill it up with.
I didn't. You said grape. I thought you were talking about lean or something. I said no. I don't
just
think that's.
We're in Houston, huh?
I don't think that's legal when you're 20.
It's like a grape. Like, yeah, whatever. Anyways, not important. But that's awesome. I'm happy for the guy, and I think, as you know, from my stance on him, I think it's been a long time coming because he's been on the PGA Tour. This isn't his second tournament, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true. He's had a couple years under his belt on tour at age 20. Like, that's crazy town.
Yeah.
Most guys are 20 years old, are grinding it out, trying to make their college teams, and he's just dominating already. This next wave, you know, we talk about the wave of Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth. I guess Daniel Berger was part of that conversation, but not so much anymore. Point being that class of 2011 is really good. These young guys, these true young guys, of Victor Hovland, Matthew Wolff, Colin Morikawa, Joachim Niemann, I mean, they're younger than they are, and they're already winning on the PGA Tour. This is great. In the post-Tiger era, I still consider this post-Tiger era. I mean, yeah, he's the Masters champion. Chills. But, yeah, literally, KJ just got chills.
The fuck?
Tiger won the Masters.
Every time.
Tiger won the Masters, but still, like, he's not dominating the way that he was. But he inspired that generation, our generation, to come up, that there's so many freaking good players now. It's crazy. It's crazy. So that's really all I got for this week in the PGA Tour, Solheim Cup as well. Again, congrats to the European team. T-Bone, you have anything in golf gossip or fashion that you would like to add?
Besides not what you're wearing right now?
T-Bone, I guess something in golf gossip. Not really, but you know who played in the Texas Mid-Am this week? Was Darren Williams. Darren Williams of the NBA.
Yeah, the basketball player?
The basketball
the point
player.
Guard?
The
really?
Point guard.
No shit.
Yes. I saw him out. Like, I saw
okay,
this.
Follow-up question. Yes. Actually, this isn't a follow-up because I'm cutting you off.
Okay.
Did he beat you?
I don't know, actually.
Oh, my
hold
God.
Hold on. Shut up. All right, I'm going to look this up right now, live on the air.
I don't know if that'd be good or bad for you.
Guess you got crossed, son.
Yeah, because I saw, like, this really big athletic guy walking around the golf course, and I was like, that guy kind of looks familiar. He's all tatted up. He's got the earrings, too. Great. He's got a good golf swing, though. Saw him warming up on the range. And then, sure enough, I look at the leaderboard, and Darren Williams is there. I'm like, okay. I'm pretty sure he lives in the Dallas area now because he played for the Mavs for a little bit.
I feel like every week we talk more and more about different sports that aren't golf.
is
that fair to say?
I'm trying to find him right now on
it is September.
Phone. Darren Williams.
He fucking beat you, didn't he?
He beat me. Darren Williams beat me. He shot 86-85.
Woo!
So he beat me by 2 because I went 86-87. Dang gummit. Hey, I'm pulling up a scorecard right now.
The good news is you could probably take him on one-on-one.
Dude, I stroke. What are you talking about? I can make it rain on some threes every now and then. That's about all I'm good for. Yeah, dude, just looking at the scores were high. So I can say that Darren Williams, formerly of the NBA, beat me in a golf tournament. I don't know if that's
cooler if it was.
Is that a good or
a
bad thing?
I don't know. It's definitely
that's probably
a bad thing.
Not a good thing.
That's
I've been playing my whole life. Oh gosh.
Yeah, probably not a good thing.
All right. Well, so that's Darren Williams, Mid-Am stuff. Again, it was a fun week. Congrats to Joachim Niemann. Congrats to the European team winning the Solheim Cup. We're going to wrap this up here. Is there anything else that y'all would like to add before we get out of here? All right. Well, we appreciate y'all, the listeners, sticking with us for this episode. Follow us on social media at 3 on a Par Pod. That is the number 3 on a Par Pod. So you can see our content that we're posting up on there. Stay up to date with us. Again, amateur golf, I think, is off the table for me for at least a little bit, but we're going to go out and play with each other, and we got to get like some side bets going again. I don't know if we need to do like a dress round T-bone or something to that effect.
Still in my golf bag to this day.
That is so true.
How
we were playing and he pulled it out.
Stinky is that
it's
thing?
Not good. Not
that
good.
Disgusting.
So I think that should probably be the next one is...
You have to wear it again?
You have to wear it straight as that. Ugh. Like no washing, no nothing. So we better not fucking lose.
Just right out of the bag.
T-bone sweat and like I'm sure some Smirnoff ices that were in there that probably exploded.
Some claws.
Possible.
Yeah. Some White Claws.
No. You guys know me.
I'm on the White Claw train. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts specifically. That would be great. Also, but most importantly, tell a friend about the podcast. You can just tell one person you play with in your foursome, maybe a coworker, a family member, a middle-aged aunt. I don't care. Just tell them, anybody who likes golf, to check us out on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to the show. But write the review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be great. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And remember,
Little White Ball is life.